Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos. We're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world, so keep it tuned right here. You know, this is a big, big time for the Brown Mountain Lights of Western North Carolina. As a matter of fact, last fall marked the 100-year anniversary of the first time the Brown Mountain Lights ever appeared in a news report. Also last year, I wrote a booklet called Brown Mountain Lights, A Viewing Guide, which was published by the Burke County Tourism Development Authority and is freely available all over the place. And, of course, just this month, the new movie Alien Abduction came out. Matty Beckerman's film uses the Brown Mountain Lights as the backdrop of his dramatic thriller in which people are being spirited away by beings from beyond. And, of course, the Brown Mountain area is attracting thousands of people from around the world every year. So it's not surprising that there's a new business that's opening up to help people who want to learn more about the Brown Mountain Lights, who want some local guidance, and who really want to know about the type of research in general that's being employed up there. It's called the Linville Mountain Research Center. The website is linvillemountainresearch.com. Mountain is abbreviated to MTN. We'll have that linked up for you at speakingofstrange.com. And it's operated by a man named Richard Porter, and he is joining us tonight to tell us about his new venture. So, Richard Porter, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
Hello, Josh.
Great to have you with us tonight, and I'm excited about this new business that you've started. The website looks great. There's a ton of fantastic information. And tell us how you first became involved with the Brown Mountain Lights phenomenon, Richard.
I grew up in the area, been in the area since the 1960s. Had experiences in Jonas Ridge with the lights during the 60s and 70s, and purchased this property in the Linville Gorge about 15 years ago and built the research center. During that time, we were occupying the center for as a residence initially, and then the light action began. My wife made me aware of lights one night off the back deck, and she thought maybe it was hunters. So she asked me to go down and ask the hunters not to shoot our home, and I seen the lights illuminating in the trees. So I got in the truck and rode down to let the hunters know that we had a home up there in the woods, in the wilderness, and not to shoot that direction. And there was nobody there, and I came back, and she said, "What did they say?" And I said, "There's nobody there." And she said, "Well, they turned the lights off right after you pulled out. They must have left." So I went back into the home and sat down, and my wife come running back in a few minutes later, and she said, "They're in the woods." And I said, "Who?" And she said, "The hunters." She said, "The flashlights." And I went back out on the deck, and there was four or five flashlights, it looked like, in the woods moving around. So I got my flashlight and walked down into the woods to let the hunters know that we had a home there and not to shoot that way. And the lights weren't there, and I stood still and listened, and no noise, and come back up. She said, "What did they say?" And I said, "There's nobody in those woods." So I said, "Please, just come in the house and sit down. Leave it alone. I don't know what it is." And she came in and sat down, and our house faces south, and a glass all the way across the back. And about 15 minutes later, two glowing balls of energy, about the size of a bowling ball, one at 6 foot, one at 4 foot, pass by the glass doors, pass by the window, pass by the fireplace, the other window. She said, did you see that? And I said, I did. And the energy, the balls of energy, did not illuminate no light through the glass. It's just glowing balls of energy. And she asked me what I was going to do about it, and I said, I can't do anything about it. I chased it twice, and I said, you know, there's nothing I can do. I'm not going to go chase it again. So that was about 5 years ago, and last year we began researching outside at night, and we started documenting light activity on the property. And the more we researched, the more documentation of unexplained energy lights that you'll see on our website, we just come up with a whole lot of activity that we couldn't explain, and then we'd make trips up to Wiseman's View, which our facility now is located 7 miles south of Wiseman's View, and we've had light activity up there, so our location just provides an ideal base to study and document energy activity in and around the Linville Gorge, which I now consider Area 181 for the Brown Mountain Lights and the activity. So we've had multiple experiences on the property, and we'd like to share that with those that are interested in the Brown Mountain Lights, be able to share that portion of it, and also be able to direct them to locations and where we'll have people on site to interact and study what we can explain.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. And, you know, I like the fact that, you know, your base is the Linville Mountain Research Center, because even though this term Brown Mountain Lights has become famous, those who research the phenomenon definitely can say they occur all throughout that region, and they really should more accurately be called the Linville Lights. And that's amazing that you got to see some right there, literally outside of your house. So when people come to visit you, and I know that you're going to start your business formally here next month in May, it looks like it only costs about anywhere between $9 to $15 for someone to take one of your tours. So if someone shows up, what kind of experience are you guys going to provide for them?
Well, we'll have about a 15 to 20-minute outdoor presentation about the history and light documentation. We'll sit around and share some experiences and stories. We have a couple trails that are open where we have activity that, as of right now, we have activity nightly if we spend enough time studying. We'll have some type of energy, light, unexplainable action. And so we'll allow those folks to walk the trails after the presentation, and then we'll all meet back at the fire pit and sit around and share our experiences. And then from that point, we'll either they can tag along and go to Wiseman's View, which is 7 miles, and we'll have somebody at that location that will be researching with thermal imaging equipment and cameras and other equipment. And we'll also have a group that goes to the Brown Mountain Overlook on Highway 181, and they can tag along if they'd like and also be able to interact with our researchers there.
Wow. You see, that sounds like a fun and amazing way to spend an evening. As a matter of fact, I love the thermal imaging, and we've had great success up there using third-generation night vision cameras. We've gotten some amazing footage. So at some point, you and I can talk about seeing if I can maybe help you get some night vision up there as well, because that obviously helps these infrared illuminations show up very, very clearly. And so do you feel that these lights are a natural phenomenon, or do you think that they might have some connection to conscious beings, interdimensional phenomena, aliens? I mean, what's your feeling about that?
I'm all about it's some form of energy. I study energy. I've been studying energy for the last 30 years, solar, earth, energy, and I can't explain what type of energy as of yet. I just, with this site, it's going to allow me to document weather conditions. Of course, we're going to have cameras running 24 hours a day. We actually have documentation of light activity or energy activity during late evening, still daylight hours, which I don't know whether anyone else has ever experienced the daylight light activity, but that really blew me away when we had that experience. But some type of energy, can't explain it, but, you know, got plenty of time and got a great location to research it.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful to see after a year of these tours and expeditions just what kind of patterns that you've located, you know, bringing people out there using their own investigative techniques on a regular basis. Obviously, it's always going to be dependent upon weather in terms of, you know, visibility and access. But I think from a scientific standpoint, the database that you're going to gather is going to be helpful. And it's going to narrow down some of these conditions that help predict when the lights appear. So we're coming up on a break here, but Richard, again, your website is LinvilleMountainResearch.com. That's MTN, LinvilleMountainResearch.com. Anything else you want to tell listeners about how to find you and become involved?
Chamber of Commerce in Burke County. They've got all of our information and contact. Of course, our website has telephone contact and info for reservations. And, folks, we'd really want you to bring your cameras and your video recorders and be able to take something that's unusual and unexplained home with you.
All right. That sounds great. Well, congratulations, good luck on this, and I look forward to hanging out with you when I'm back in North Carolina myself. Folks, again, that's Richard Porter with the Linville Mountain Research Base. I'm Joshua P. Warren. When we come back, we're going to talk about the upcoming series of Blood Moons here on Speaking of Strange.
A cold steel rail, a smile from a veil. Think you can tell? Did they get you to train? Your heroes.
I see every moon horizon. I see trouble on the way.
Show brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You can call Shelly Wright there at 828 298 5402. You'll find a link at speakingofstrange.com to wrightscoinshop.com. I was talking about the third generation night vision with Richard Porter there of the Limbo Mountain Research Center. And if you have not seen any of the mind-boggling footage that has been captured using third generation night vision, go to paratemporal.com, P-A-R-A-T-E-M-P-O-R-A-L, paratemporal.com, and look at that footage. I mean, I'm telling you, some of the stuff is just, it'll blow you away. And also, if you have not yet had a chance to read my Brown Mountain Lights viewing guide, I think you'll find it a fascinating read for a number of reasons, and you can read it for free. Go right now to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com, and you'll find a free PDF version of it that you can read online. It's color. It's got great graphics and illustrations, and whether you're looking at the history, the legends, the data, theories, pop culture relevance. I mean, it's all in that booklet, so go check it out. And right now, a lot of people are looking up. A lot of people are preparing for things in the sky that may be harbingers of things to come. And if you listen to the program last hour, you know, we started off with a little bit of a conversation about the blood moon that is going to be happening here in the next few days. And if you haven't heard about that, let me just explain. On the morning of Tuesday, April 15th, 2014, the moon will be eclipsed by the Earth's shadow. The 78-minute event will be viewable across the Western Hemisphere, according to NASA. And it's not just any lunar eclipse. It's a special one that begins a series of blood moons that may prophesy something, well, bad. But first, let me tell you more about what's going to happen on Tuesday morning. They say a total lunar eclipse occurs when the Earth, Moon, and Sun are in perfect alignment and the Moon is covered by the Earth's shadow. And at some point during this process, the moon glows blood red. Two things make this lunar eclipse special for people in the United States: the location and the timing. The Western Hemisphere is facing the moon during the eclipse, during the entire event, and it will be nighttime in North America, so most residents of the continental U.S. will be able to see the whole thing. So it actually is going to begin Monday night, Tuesday morning. I think earlier in the show I may have said Tuesday night, but it's actually Monday night. So the Earth's shadow is going to start creeping across the moon Monday night, Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. New York time. Okay, so that's Eastern time. If you're in New York, it'll be about 3 a.m. Monday night, Tuesday morning, when this starts to happen. It'll be about midnight on the West Coast in California, and it's going to reach its peak at around 45 minutes later, okay, around 3:45 a.m. East Coast, New York time. That's when the moon will be completely covered by the Earth's shadow, and they say at that point it's going to turn red as the sun's rays are scattered, and that's the blood moon. So a lunar eclipse gives the illusion of the moon changing its phases in just a matter of minutes. And the entire continent of North America will not be able to witness a full lunar eclipse again in its entirety until 2019. So if you live here in the States, take advantage of this. But what is the mystical connection? Well, when you see this Monday night, Tuesday morning, you are going to be seeing the first of four blood moons in a series. This is an extraordinary event that some people, especially some Christians, believe represents the end of days and the second coming of Christ. In the King James Bible, the book of Joel 2:31, it predicts, quote, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes," end quote. So according to NASA, a highly unusual tetrad, as they call it, which is four successive total blood-red lunar eclipses, each followed by six full moons, will indeed start this coming Tuesday morning and finish on September the 28th of 2015. Now, this incredible alignment has only happened just a handful of times in the last 2,000 years. But remarkably, on each of the three last occasions, it seems to have coincided with a globally significant religious event. There's a pastor and an author named John Hagee from San Antonio, and he has written a book on this phenomenon. And he believes that this marks the dawn of a hugely significant event for the world. He says, quote, "This is not something that some religious think tank has put together. NASA has confirmed the tetrad has only happened three times in more than 500 years and that it's going to happen now," end quote. So the first tetrad since the Middle Ages in 1493 saw the expulsion of Jews by the Catholic Spanish Inquisition, which rocked Western Europe. The second coincided with the establishment of the State of Israel after thousands of years of struggle in 1949. And strangely, the last one occurred in 1967, far earlier than expected, precisely at the time of the Six-Day Arab-Israeli War. So a spokesman for NASA has said, quote, "This is the first eclipse of the year and is well placed for observers throughout the hemisphere. It will occur at the lunar orbit's ascending node in Virgo." Now, if we go on to look more about this, let's see, it says here, the 565 period of tetrad seasons is tied to the slowly decreasing eccentricity of Earth's orbit. So Earth's orbit is changing to such an extent that they say in the distant future, these tetrads will no longer even be possible. So again, the pastor, Mr. Hagee, says, according to biblical prophecy, world history is about to change dramatically. To get four blood moons, you need something absolutely extraordinary in astrological terms. The first of the four blood moons will come on April 15th during Passover. The second will be on October 8th at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then on April 4th, 2015, during Passover, we will have another blood moon. And then finally, on September 28th, during next year's Feast of the Tabernacles, the fourth blood and final moon will dawn. So isn't that weird that all these blood moons are occurring on religiously significant dates? So, you know, people are always making predictions related to the end of times or Christ coming back, and we've seen these predictions come and go, and nothing major happens. So I don't know how much stock you should put in this, but I would say that generally speaking, something pretty wild is probably going to occur. I happen to be a believer in astrology, at very least when it comes to determining the character of certain people. And so I believe this is going to be a year of some kind of major significance, and it makes sense that it would be heralded by that. But What is it about the moon that might sort of qualify it as a harbinger of these things? When we come back, I'm going to tell you about some wild moon mysteries that you probably don't know anything about. I believe these will impress you. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Stick around for more. Don't miss this coming up on Speaking of Strange.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. And all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. And all the night's magic seems to whisper and hush, and all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. And I know that the time is just right, and straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. Anytime I touch you, you just tremble inside, and I know how much you want me that you can't hide. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love?
Yeah, welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show presented by Wright's Coin Shop. 828-298-5402. Or just go to speakingofstrange.com and find links to all kinds of cool stuff. You know, the moon is a very mysterious place. As a matter of fact, some of the ancient Greek writers like Aristotle and Democritus even wrote about indigenous peoples in the Mediterranean area they called pre-lunar. People who claimed within their tribes, their cultures, they knew of a period before there was a moon in the sky. There are some Native Americans around Bogota, Colombia, who have the same tradition. So what does this imply? A time before there was a moon, but is still in human memory. Well, did you know that the moon rings like a bell when it's hit by a meteor or another large heavy object like a lunar lander? During the Apollo moon missions, it says that whenever some of these craft landed, it caused the moon to, quote, ring like a gong or a bell, end quote. Some of these lasted nearly an hour. Others had certain traces for 4 hours. This might suggest the moon is, to a certain extent, hollow, literally like some kind of a death star. Did you know that the moon's age is also a great mystery? For one thing, nobody is certain where the moon even came from. Some scientists say, well, maybe the Earth sort of crashed into some other object and debris formed the moon, but incredibly, over 99% of the moon rocks brought back to Earth are actually older than 90% of the oldest rocks here on Earth. And the soil on the moon is even older than the lunar rocks. What does all that mean? It's almost like that the moon is a mishmash, a hodgepodge of various rocks and soils and debris, because maybe it's been traveling around through the cosmos. Is the moon like a big Death Star that's just sitting there right now? Are aliens inside of it now, or have they been in the past? Is that why the moon may be playing such a central role when it comes to some of these prophecies and predictions? Interestingly enough, just recently, President Bill Clinton appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and you know, he made some comments that kind of echoed what other statesmen and presidents have said. You might remember that Ronald Reagan had said at one point, you know, how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat. And then he said, you know, basically, oh, well, we would all have to fight and work together. Henry Kissinger once said at a Bilderberger conference in France that, he said this is especially true if there were an outside threat from beyond, such as an alien invasion that threatened our very existence. Then all the peoples of the world would plead to deliver them from evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the first guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Keep that in mind when you listen to this section here of comments that President Clinton recently made. Here we go.
Clinton is here with us, so if I was president, and I won't be, let's be honest, the first thing I would do after putting my hand on that Bible and taking that oath to serve the country is I wouldn't even probably finish the oath. I would run to the White House. I'd demand to see all the classified files on the UFOs. Because I want to know. I'd want to know what has been going on. Did you do that?
Sort of. Yeah, we had I think it was at the beginning of my second term, we had the anniversary of Roswell.
You waited that long?
I did.
Wow.
Well, I didn't. And then there's also Area 51. You remember there was a great sci-fi movie where there was an alien kept deep under the ground
in
Area 51? So first I had people go look at the records on Area 51 to make sure there was no alien down there. And people thought that because everybody who works there has to stop about an hour away and put on special clothing and then drive in and out. And that's because a lot of our stealth technology is made there. We know that now. But there are no aliens there. So then when the Roswell thing came up, I knew we'd get, you know, gazillions of letters. So I had all the Roswell papers reviewed, everything.
If you saw that there were aliens there, would you tell us?
Yeah.
You would.
Well, I think, look, what do we know? We know now we live in an ever-expanding universe. We know that there are billions of stars and planets literally out there, and the universe is getting bigger. We know from our fancy telescopes that just in the last 2 years, more than 20 planets have been identified outside our solar system that seem to be far enough away from their suns and dense enough that they might be able to support some form of life. So it makes it increasingly less likely that we're alone.
Oh, you're trying to give me a hint that there are aliens.
No, I'm trying to tell you I don't know.
Oh.
But if we were visited someday, I wouldn't be surprised. I just hope that it's not like Independence Day.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that it's a conflict.
Well, now we have friendly
maybe
aliens.
The only way to unite this incredibly divided world of ours. They're out there. We better think of how all the differences among people on Earth would seem small if we felt threatened by a space invader. That's the whole theory of independence.
You're right. You're
everybody
right.
Gets together and makes nice and, you know.
You and Bill O'Reilly would be hiding in a bunker together.
Yeah. Old Bill O'Reilly, he'd be every mean thing he ever said about me. I don't care. Look at that.
right. So there you can hear clearly, again, the same message being reiterated, the same thing that other presidents have said. We've done plenty of UFO specials and best ofs where we replay some of these speeches. And that's the idea. When things seem a little too chaotic, eventually the best plan would be an alien threat to unite us all. The question becomes, are we really all sitting around here waiting for an alien threat? Or are the governments of the world capable of orchestrating some type of a fake alien threat in order to achieve the same result? You may have heard about Project Bluebeam, for example, which is one of these conspiratorial, you know, government projects where they supposedly have the technology to create gigantic holographic images in the sky that might look like anything, including flying saucers or even a gigantic Jesus Christ himself standing there in the sky with beams radiating from him, if that's what it takes to make people believe and to try to unite us and accelerate this process of a one-world government. This kind of message is coming out more and more strongly right as this prophesied series of blood moons is happening on these significant religious dates. I've given you just some examples of mysteries related to the moon. And, you know, it's one thing when you hear something from a politician related to aliens, but what about when you hear it from a scientist that everybody admires? Even Stephen Hawking just recently came out, and he made a comment about the moon. I'm going to tell you what his comment was, and this also happens to coincide with another story about a strange anomaly that has been captured on Mars as well. So we're not talking about just little fringe topics that we're, you know, digging around and pulling off the internet to mess with you. No, these are credible stories, and they all seem to be coinciding and culminating right now related to the moon, aliens, religion, prophecy. When we come back from the break, I will explain and I'll tell you what Stephen Hawking has been saying. And I'll also tell you more about this strange thing that NASA has recently captured on Mars. Be sure to visit speakingofstrange.com for videos related to these topics. Be sure to visit joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. And I don't know. I just have a gut feeling that something big is really going to happen soon. I'll explain more when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
This one. Tell me, are you locked in the pines? Andy, are you cooping on Elvis too? Are we losing touch? If you believe they put a man on the moon, man on the moon.
In the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. It is not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That's when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial stuff, often sordid and seedy. Stick around for that if that's the kind of stuff that you enjoy hearing about. And we often say we are the program that explores the summit of mankind's enlightenment and the pit of his depravity. And once again, we are proving that with this hour compared to next hour. So, yes, we're talking about these great mysteries related to the moon and bodies in space. Let me remind you again, speaking of bodies in space, the time is upon us to save money and to make the most of energy resources. Go to sunshinesimple.com. Trust me, please do it. And watch the free video there. It is the world's most powerful solar generator for your home for the lowest price in the world. Guaranteed. Hands down. I challenge you to find anything superior for this price. sunshinesimple.com. Stephen Hawking, the brilliant physicist, is now 72 years old. As if all the stuff I presented about the moon already were not enough, he recently went on a television show dedicated to the International Space Station, and he said that in 50 years, people will live on the moon, and we will be on our way to Mars. And that this century will indeed be the true space age. He believes the human race will face imminent risk of extinction if other planets will not be colonized because too many people will live on Earth and the planet cannot support an infinite number of people. He said, quote, our planet is an old world, threatened with an ever-expanding population and finite resources. We must anticipate these threats and have a plan B. If our species is to survive the next 100 years, let alone 1,000, it is imperative we voyage out into the blackness of space to colonize new worlds across the cosmos. If we follow this path, I have no doubt this century will go down in the history of humankind as the true space age. Well, so here you have the blood moons, you know, falling on all the religious dates. We have President Clinton talking about, you know, the same old message of we need some, or imagine if there were another force, aliens, to unite people. You have probably the world's most famous living scientist saying we are going to go live on the moon. And now NASA has just captured what appears to be an artificial light emanating outward from the surface of Mars. This is a completely legit, credible story. I'd be surprised if you haven't heard about it already. The photo beamed millions of miles from Mars to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, was taken last week by one of two NASA rovers on the red planet. And the light sort of shines upward as if it's coming from the ground. It's very flat across the bottom. Nobody can explain it. Phil Plait of Bad Astronomy says maybe it's, quote, a subatomic particle that smacked into the camera, leaving behind a trail of energy. Another scientist here said, this is the spot on the map we've been headed for on a little rise that gives us a great view for context imaging the outcrops. But, you know, this could be some light from a being, or maybe it's similar to what we're seeing at places like Brown Mountain. You know, at Brown Mountain, where the Brown Mountain lights appear, we think most of these are probably a natural phenomenon like ball lightning. Same thing in Hestland, Norway, where you have the Hestland lights. Is it possible that this is just plasma activity on Mars, the kind of which that we see at these strange locations on Earth? And again, if you want to take a look at some of this stuff, go to paratemporal.com, P-A-R-A, paratemporal.com, and look at some of the footage there. Or go to brownmountainlights.com as well. All I can tell you is that I can feel it. Maybe you can too. We're on the precipice of something big and amazing that's going to happen the rest of this year and over the coming years. 2012 was the beginning of the shift. Now the shift is kicking in, my friends. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be time for the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. There is